For those of you who don't know, it's my good buddy, the guy that I'm still mad at after last year's event when he told me that the puck was in.
Well, we could talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, we will talk about it.
Yeah.
And he didn't say a damn thing. You know, Marty Jelinas is here this morning.
You guys make me feel good.
Yeah, welcome. Right,
thank you.
Yeah, welcome, by the way.
So how many game seven? You know what? After you guys had that little talk in the morning and
I started thinking about it.
So total was five.
Yeah. That's it?
Five game seven. That's it. Yeah.
Well, and I don't mean that as a slight, but I thought maybe more.
Yeah.
You'd want to
because we had two in 204.
Yeah.
Two in 94. And in my first year in Edmonton, 89-90. We started against the Jets. We had game seven.
Whoa, what about the worst game seven in the history of time? Are you not in that one?
Which one?
No, he was gone.
Wow. Yeah, you bug red all the time.
Yeah.
Anaheim.
Oh, I see.
After you,
yeah,
you were,
no, I was gone.
You went for the big money.
I went, yes. Really.
See, Rhett, that 19...
Chase in the wallet.
Yeah, that 1990 series, they were down 3-1 to the Jets in round number one. Dave Ellett scored in overtime to put the Jets up 3-1. So it was a guarantee Jets were moving on. I'll remind you that the Oilers won the Cup in 1990.
Mm.
So I don't need to tell you how the rest of that series went.
Something didn't go right for you.
As I recall.
You know what? I remember that series. And just, you know, I think back about how things happened. You guys were talking about game seven. And there's so many things that could go either way, right? You need the bounces. You need the momentum. You need, you know what, the momentum could come or the bounces could come from your team or the other team or the ref. So there's so many things that can happen. But that series, I was just a kid. I was 19 years old. I was sitting in that room. I remember my stall was right beside Craig McTavish. And I look around and we're down that series 3-1. And there is never any panic. There is character. There is leadership. There is guys that believe that they could do it. And game after game, shift after shift, they just got it done. But you look at that team, too. I mean, it was a pretty special team. You had Messi. You had Craig McTavish, Tikkanen, Curry. The list goes on and on of character and good people.
But, of course, it was significant because why you were an Oiler in the first place, there was a guy that wasn't there.
That's right. So that was a big one for that franchise at that time because obviously people were still upset, disappointed that Gretzky left, and I think Mess wanted to kind of prove that he was the leader, that he was the guy, that he could make it happen. And I remember that playoff run, he was spectacular, curious, mm-hmm. unbelievable. But there's always players that will take charge, and he was one of them. He was just he was a monster.
What was it like for you as a kid? Like you say, you're involved in the Gretzky trade. You go to Edmonton, and the venom is everywhere. Were you welcomed at all? Was there any kind of a good vibe towards you, or how did that work?
Well, you know what? I didn't feel a bad vibe. Probably for a couple of reasons. I was just a draft pick, never played in the NHL. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of a throw-in. And then, I couldn't speak English, so I couldn't understand what was happening around me.
Perfect.
I was just playing the game, going to practice. I remember being at practice, and Norm Lacombe would explain the drills to me, and then I would go on and do the drills and so on. So it was kind of a little bit of a blur. I was just a kid just playing the game and not getting a feel for what was happening around me.
So you didn't speak a word of English?
No, I come from a small town in Shawinigan, and if you drive to Shawinigan tomorrow and you try to get by, good luck.
Speaking English still?
Yeah, it's French there, so when I mean, obviously you learn at school like you did probably in French, but very very little.
I never would have thought of that. Because even being, you know, you're Canadian and French speaking, right. You're going to know a little bit of English.
Take it for granted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No.
So when did you get
all.
Proficient in English?
Where you know what? Junior, my coach was Alain Vigneault there, and practices were in English. So you kind of pick it up a little bit. You pick it up at school. Not the ultimate student.
Yeah.
So it's slow learning. But, you know, you pick up a few words obviously, when you start, I live with remember Dave Shizowski?
I remember that name.
Yeah, so I live with his family the first year, and when I live in Edmonton and learned there, and I remember she She was wonderful, wonderful lady. She was sitting at the dining room table, and she really was trying to teach me how to speak English. And she would have a bun, and she would take the bun. Bun, like, but you know what? Really,
life in the NHL. Yeah. Just what you imagine.
The glamorous life. But yeah, that's where we're starting. So we're talking about game seven, right?
No, you know, we're talking everything. We never get you in. This is awesome. Now, again, I don't want it to be this full on hockey conversation, but you didn't speak English, but you knew Gretzky being traded. Like, what was that like, just being part of that historic deal?
You know what? It just, you could get a little bit of a feel, and you look at people, and obviously I didn't go into newspaper and so on, but people were upset and bitter and thought it was the end of the world. But
where were you when you heard?
You know what, I was at a hockey school back home, and I was just working, and I got a phone call from Glenn Sater saying, yeah, you know, we just
échangé.
Yeah, that's right. It was very, very short.
Yeah,
and you know, but I didn't really quite I didn't get the phone. We didn't have cell phone back then. So it first started with media coming and saying you got traded for Wayne Gretzky. And the first guy, second guy comes, and I kind of brushed it off. But eventually there's so many media there that I realized, okay, this is the real deal. And then I got home and got the phone call, and the exchange was done. So yeah, it was just at hockey school.
And then you played the next season, did you not?
I did.
A little bit?
So I played a little bit, and played, how many games you got it there?
Looks like six.
Six games, yeah. And then I was there until Christmas, and at Christmas I went to the World Championship. And then I remember sitting with Glenn Sater. He was the coach. He was my first coach there. And he asked me if I want to stay after Christmas, because he didn't have a roster limit back then. Yeah. And then if he asked me if I wanted to stay or go back to junior, and I said I'd like to go back to junior, and not for because I thought it was the best thing for me. I think it was just maturity. I was just a young kid. I was missing home, and decided to make that call. So I went to the World Championship, went back to junior. I remember we had a great team. We didn't do very well, but Roenick was there. We had some good players.
Let's look at that team. The Olympic. You only had 38 goals in 41 games.
You know what? And I remember not playing well. I remember Vigneault not being happy with me.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, and in a little bit, when you're a young kid and you go back, or you take a step back when you think you're better than what you are in reality is, the game is hard at all level, and you need to be at your best. So,
yeah, Stefan Matteau, Jeremy Roenick.
We had some good
Marty Jolin.
Yeah.
Love that. Russell.
Cam Russell, he was tough. Do you remember Cam?
Oh, of course,
Chicago. Yeah. He was a tough, tough cookie, yeah. So we had some good. Was Quintal there, too? Stefan Quintal?
It didn't look like it then. I'll double check here, but either way.
You tell us you were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was there the year before. Prior. Yeah.
You're as bad as Warner. You can't remember who you played with.
That's right.
That's nothing to joke about, Dean.
Oh, sorry. Benoit Brunet.
Did he play with Bob
Benny was awesome. Yeah.
Anyway.
I want to ask him about a guy I played with in Florida, Esa Tiikkanen.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another.
That's a whole different level.
Yeah. But he was on the ice.
When the playoffs started.
He was a player, yeah. Where do you want to go with this?
Well, you go wherever. You play with them, and everyone's like, "Oh, Esa Tiikkanen," because it's a name that rings a bell for everyone, and you don't understand how hard he went on and off the ice.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like when the game was on the line, like during the season, he would play hard, but playoff, he elevated his game so much. Yeah, like there's another game seven here against the Flames when I was with the Oilers. That he scored a goal, and I remember just kind of bad angle. He scored two goals that game for us to win that series, but that overtime goal was just kind of bad angle. But he was competitive. He knew his role. Like, he was talking about Marchand, but within the rules. But he was a competitor. He knew how to play. He knew how to get under people's skin. You know, he's the type of guy that you want in the playoff.
For sure.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable how he could. You'd expect him just to.
And you always say, imagine if you worked, you know what I mean?
Tried, yeah. Off the ice.
And, but great shot, and when it was time to put it on the line, you could do it.
And you never know. Sometimes you think, well, if he'd have worked harder off the ice, it maybe been yeah. better. Yeah. So that's another I was actually thinking about yesterday. You're in shape. You're still in shape. Were you always in shape?
You know what? I always worked out, and I remember.
I'm interrupting you a little bit, because in 1987, training wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, so it really, for me, it started when I was 15. So I went to my first camp, midget AAA, and they cut me. They said, you're too small. And I was underage, and I remember it was 4 hours away from my hometown, and I remember the ride home with my dad was silent. So my dad knew that I had probably the talent to do it, but I was not quite ready to take that step, and they told me I was too small. So I went back midget double C that year. So I went a step up playing with older guys, but it was the caliber was just okay. But every lunch hour, I started lifting and got in the habit of lifting weights and so on.
And who tutored you in that? Anyone, I just went in there and did it?
Just kind of did it. So I went there, and it was the old. There was really no program, no system. Yeah. You just put some bench press.
Yeah, what does that weight room look like? Some dumbbells?
That's right.
So
my dad told me I could quit taking piano lessons when I was 12 if I started to work out.
Yeah,
and my workout program was the Paul Coffey workout program, and you got it at the Max store if you bought a 2 liter of Coke or something.
Is that right?
Yeah, huh? And it was like, here you go downstairs and work out.
Basically, you walk into that gym and you look at what people did, and you kind of did the same
Copycat.
Thing. So you know, there's really cardio was not. It was just for me. It was just lifting, and I was lifting weight. But that year, and I tell that story to my kids all the time. I said I started just. I wanted to bulk up. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have a program. So I would have my breakfast, all my food I would have. But I would force myself to eat 6 bananas a day. And then that year.
Bananas.
That year, I to this day, I hate bananas. But that year, I gained 35, almost 40 pounds, ooh, came back. And the summer, the following summer, so there's really no gym in Shawinigan. So I would ride my bike, which was 20 kilometers, went to Three Rivers, lifted weights there, and then came back. And it's just kind
of... BMX or 10-speed?
Huh?
BMX or 10-speed?
No, it was a 10-speed, oh, yeah. God. Yeah, I stepped it up, yeah. Yeah, I was at a paper route, so I made some money, bought a bike, bought a decent
bike. How much
bike.
Per paper?
You know what? I can't remember.
Or was it a set? Because I used to deliver flyers, and it was 70. Like a penny a flyer.
I had 70. I can't remember how much it was, yeah. Yeah, but it was up early, though.
So, again, Marty Gélinas, just to remind everybody who we're talking to, we'll break and we'll come back, but why the bananas? Who told you six
you know,
or five
it's,
a
it's,
day? What was
it's no different than you go in the gym, and what do? You just kind of try to figure it out. But how are you going to gain weight? Like you're a young kid, they say, you gotta bulk up. You got to gain weight. What do? At least, So I just figure this is a healthy.
Bananas got to be healthy,
right? It fills you up. So I'm going to eat them. Yeah. Anyway, it worked out.
Marty Gélinas, assistant coach of the Flames, joining us in studio. We're going to move on from the fitness thing, but this is, I want to share the Vancouver story. So you go to Vancouver, and I want to get into that later, but your workout.
Yeah. So I was traded to Carolina, but I had this trainer and so I would do my workouts. So now it's more specific. It was sprints. It was lifting. It was power lifting. But I thought, you know, how, and I always thought that way. And I did a lot of things that made no sense, but it created layers. But I thought, how can I get better than people that will be in working out in Montreal or whatever? So I thought, I'll do my workout, I'll do whatever I need to do here. And after every workout, I'll go and climb and do the grouse grind. So I did that all summer, thinking, I'm going to get to camp. I'm going to be fast and strong. I was strong, but I was not fast. So the training really evolved quite a bit. But I was one of those things that I decided to do. And you try and learn, and And
because I'm looking. No, so you did like the grouse grind is kind of one of those things. People are happy if they do it once. You
know, yeah.
Bucket list. I'll do the grouse grind. Okay, been there, done that. You did it every day after every your day. Workout.
You know, and some days you just felt great. You do it in 36, and some days there's just
so it's like 3 kilometers straight up.
It was not running though.
Yeah.
Back now, I think the grind is. Have you done it lately?
No, I know the Canucks prospects, when they do their development camp, they always do it in teams, and it's a big race, but people are just trying to run up the thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, I think it's better now, but it was a walk.
Yeah.
It was a hard walk, yeah.
After the workout.
After the workout, yeah.
Every
crazy,
well,
right?
You want to go on from it, but that's what...
You want to go on from the fitness, but Marty, that was one of the things Marty is best known for.
And, you know, I look at my career, and lucky that I played for a long time and survived, and I think that was part of it. Yeah. Not my skill, for sure.
You should have handed out some advice. I wasn't very fit. I could have probably used some pointers.
Was it a lack of advice that cut you, that really hurt
Marty
you?
Marty didn't tell me enough.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Now, looking, you got to walk me through this, because I'm looking at your HockeyDB page, and you were claimed off waivers by Vancouver from the Quebec Nordiques. Now, I'll admit, the Nordique part of your career kind of, I did not realize that took place. But when you're picked up on waivers, isn't that usually kind of a signal that, they're not trading me, they're just...
They don't want me.
Did you have concern going back to 1994 that maybe...
It was the most, it was the most stressful time of my career. So you're a first round pick, you're a young kid, you start, you win a cup, you get a decent start, and things start... sliding and this is where I realized when they did that I got to become the hardest working. When I was thankful and grateful that Vancouver picked me up and Pat couldn't give me a chance, but this is where I realized I got to become the hardest working player that I can be to be better than everybody else if I want to stay in this league. That was the lowest point in my career, but it was a wake up call. Never had a chance to go to minors, but that would have been my chance. But Pat Quinn took a chance on me, and to this day, I'm thankful. But I did realize that that could be the end. Yeah. And when you start going that route, it could get pretty dark pretty quick.
Because you spend the 4 years after the all that in Edmonton, 17 goals, 20, and then back to back 11 goal seasons. You're moved to Quebec. You play just 31 games. You had 6 goals. What happened in Quebec?
Actually, I was leading the league, I think, after the first game.
nice.
Yes,
they'll never take that away from you.
No, thank you. But you know what? They were making changes. They were trying to create some room for they put me on waivers. They made a big trade at that time, and I was one of the guys that got pushed. You got to remember that they had a pretty good team at that time, too. And I was just one of the players that got pushed. But
Sakic, Sundin, Kamensky, Ricci, Kovalenko, Ruchinski.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
they won a cup the next year.
That's pretty good.
That Pierre,
not there.
No, they had to move.
There
was that guy Patrick Waugh that joined the squad.
That sure helps, doesn't it?
Were you a Habs fan then? Playing,
I did. Yeah. So
playing
up
for Quebec was a little.
You know what? It was fine. I always watch. You always watch the games between Quebec City and Montreal, and it was all excited. But when I grew up, Guy Lafleur was my idol, and I remember my dad taking me, not often, but taking me to the old Forum there and watching games, and it was a big Habs fan.
Could Quebec have a team now?
You know,
hard to say.
I got my view, but...
Well, what's your view? That's...
You know what? I think it would be hard for Quebec to have a team. It's a small market. Passionate fans, they love the game and so on, but you need some corporate dollars to make it happen, and I'm not sure if there's enough there to make it happen.
It's what they said about Winnipeg.
It's smaller than Winnipeg, I believe, which is like crazy, right?
But Winnipeg has got some.
Well, the one thing they have is they have two guys at the top that have money.
Yeah,
combined the two of them, they're very well off, and they are able to bankroll that team. Yeah. The fan support would be there, would it not, though?
Oh, it would be, yeah. But not, I'm not sure how much the ticket is in Winnipeg, but I'm not sure if the people in Quebec are a little thriftier, like, for them to spend, if you look at, I don't even know what that is in Winnipeg, but I think it would be there for sure.
So we were talking this morning about having like Rhett Jr., Norm Miracle, pickup truck, the CD player in there. What was your car when you were a kid? The car, the music. Take us back to young 19-year-old Marty Jelen.
19 in Edmonton. Actually, I had a dealer car. If you're,
yeah,
that was a big, big, big time. Is right. It was a Chevrolet Capri. It was a.
A Caprice.
Yeah, a Caprice. The big boat.
Four doors?
Four doors. So it was, you know, I was just happy to have a car. I was in Edmonton. And yeah, that was kind of my car. The music in there. I can't remember what I was playing. Yeah, probably some Celine Dion or
Nirvana.
Rock was in.
19, 20-year-old Marty Jelena in the NHL, and someone's giving you a four-door Caprice.
Yeah, beautiful.
What
huh?
the hell?
Yeah, I know.
You deserve better.
Flashy. Yeah, no, that's okay.
You deserve better.
Yeah, from a small town showing again, that was a big, that was a nice, that's luxury.
Sure, I bet.
Yeah.
Not that we're going through your life story, and we will talk about Game 7s, Jets, Nashville, your former team, tomorrow. You, we kind of talked about, so the Nordiques put you on waivers. You're picked up by Vancouver. And there's no guarantees, but and you said that's kind of, now I got to dedicate myself to this. And you did, and then you had an incredible rest of your career. I would guess probably doing the math, the 1,000-plus games came after that point in your career.
Yeah, you know what, talking earlier, is just it made me realize that I had to do something more than everybody else to stay alive, to stay in the NHL, and to have a career. I was not planning to play for that long, but I just wanted to keep playing, so I started doing more fitness and working harder than everybody else on the ice and doing things that other people didn't do, and it kept me alive. But also, you know, I look back and I talked about it earlier, that thankful that Pat Quinn said, you know what, I'll take a chance at this little guy. Probably made an impression on him when I was in Edmonton, just with the speed and so on, and got there and gave me a chance to play my first game. I remember I played with Pavel Bure and Trevor Linden. That's a good boost.
It's okay, yeah.
And I didn't want to let him down. This is the type of coach. Pat Quinn is probably one of the best coach I had, and this is the type of coach that you don't want to let down, and he was awesome that way.
Back in the day, you were small. Today's world, you're fit right in, no problem. Nobody even blinks an eye. But back then, that was a big knock.
Oh, for sure. You know, like when you were 5'10", 5'11", you were small, so you had to bring something else to the table. So this is why I needed to be strong and stay fast. And we talk about things that, you know, will make you faster. The weight vest in Edmonton did not make me faster.
Yeah, what did you do there?
You know what? I had this brilliant idea that, you know what, I'll do the training camp with a 20-pound weight vest for the first 10 days, and I'll be, when I take it off, I'll be much faster than everybody else. Well, that didn't work out very well.
You should be flying around. What happened?
You know what? Your nervous system is just, yeah, you just, oh, did you? Yeah. When you lose it, you feel wonderful. And then you feel wonderful. Wow.
What, Pat Quinn?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, just a wonderful guy.
So over the years, and Rhett could talk about it, but you got different coaches' style. And Pat Quinn was a player's coach. He was a guy that would not get mad very often, but when he did, watch out. He's a guy that would sit down with you and look at you and say, this is what I need. He was kind of, you know, when you look at coaches now, they're more psychologists than anything else. Back then, he was just kind of that guy. He was getting the most out of every player just by talking. Communication was a big part of it, but just his personality, the way every day it was hard, but it was fair. He made the game better for everybody around him.
Who was the best at making it fun to go to the rink? Because Darryl wasn't notorious for making it an enjoyable place, but he got a lot out of us.
So as a coach or a player, both?
Both. What? Yeah, as guys like, because, that stand out
because
to
I,
you.
Because I'm seeing both sides. I'm seeing as a player, I'm seeing as... And Golly made it fun for me to go to work.
Okay.
Yeah, it was not every day, like the whip was out. It was something, it was a motivational, it was something different every day that made it made it fun. Yeah.
But why did he play Brouwer on the power play?
You know what? You look at what Brouwer did in St. Louis and in Washington, and they mm-hmm. just thought he was going
to
be the
you
guy.
You don't need to answer that. Okay. Yeah, it's not for you to answer. 1990.
Okay, that's Gully. All right. No, I want to hear more.
Like, all right.
And Quinn and Laviolette in?
No. So I didn't. So I was lucky enough, my first junior coach was Vigneault. And I love Alain Vigneault. Yeah. And he's got a chip on his shoulder, but it's not. And everybody kind of around him just becomes that person, pushes people the right way. So he was good. I had Seder for a very, very short time and talk about it. I can speak English. I understand English. So, but again, you could see leadership style and people are leader in that position. Just the way to behave and walk and talk. Makes a big difference. So he was a big one. We had John Muckler after that won the cup. He was more a X and O mm-hmm. type of coach. He was a little harder, had a little bit more of a whip. But Pat Quinn was awesome. I had Pierre Paget and like there's so many coaches, but
it's because you got traded around.
I know, I move around quite a bit. But it makes you appreciate what you like and you don't like and what you want to be as a coach and be part of, for sure.
I'm bouncing all over, but I bring it up because you played in Florida and I played in Florida. Was Bill Torrey around much? He just passed. Nope. You didn't get to know him? Because when I was there, he was around a fair bit, and he was one of those guys you wanted to do good for him.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. He was that type of coach. Just no, great. We had Jacques Martin there, and GM was Mike Keenan.
Iron Mike!
Yeah.
He loved me.
Yeah.
Did he?
He did?
Oh, yeah,
it's not the story we get.
Didn't want to play me, but
right.
Really liked
it. Yeah, we seem to get a different vibe from you when we hear about Keenan and you. It's maybe not that he loved you at all.
Hmm.
He's very maybe quite tired of you and your antics.
But the opposite, in fact. Yeah.
I don't know. Who wouldn't like me, Marty?
Everybody loves you, right?
There you go. Marty Gelinas here in studio. The point I was going to make, and I didn't mean to jump on you. You get to Edmonton, 1990 Cup run. You go to Vancouver, 1994, run to the final.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Again, another new team, and here you go on this run with a pretty great Vancouver team.
It was so much fun. 1994 and 2004 was probably the most fun I had playing the game. And it's, I mean, you could talk about it. It's always fun when you win. It's basically that's why we play. But it made it special because there were two teams that were not expected to really go that far and win that many games and just kind of snowball and create. But 1994, I remember, started the series here in Calgary and we had some good players. I mean, Pavel Bure, awesome. Sure. Jeff Courtnell, awesome. I mean, we had some good players, but we were not supposed to go all that way. But, coming here and were we down 3-1 that series and coming back and winning and I remember Pavel Bure getting a pass run in between, scoring a big overtime mm-hmm. goal that created the ball rolling and then we ended up going to the finals again. The Rangers, if you remember back then, there's no salary cap. If you Google that team, that is pretty special.
Yeah, you guys were down team. 3-1.
So we came back so the balls, it just got rolling, and obviously we lost Game 7 against the Rangers. But what
it was a guarantee, right?
It was. You didn't say that. No, that you didn't that, say against
yeah,
his.
That was
against New. No, it was New Jersey.
Yeah.
But he did back it up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So have you ever thought about, and getting sidetracked, if you guarantee that we're gonna win? It doesn't happen. People forget. But if you do win it.
Oh, you're.
Yeah.
Well.
Just guarantee every time, yeah.
In New York City.
Right, yeah.
Are you kidding me? The biggest stage?
Well, they hadn't won forever there.
So what would have happened if they didn't win that?
Nothing.
No one would talk about it.
You know what they'd say? What was he supposed to say? We're going to lose? That's what they'd say.
But it takes
you got to have some. Well, he had the ability to.
Oh, for sure, and make it happen.
I could go out and say it, but no one's going to expect me to have any impact on the game whatsoever.
So I'm looking at it. You had noted you were down 3-1 to Calgary in that series.
Yeah.
All three of those wins to come back were in overtime?
There were the lot.
Like how nuts is that? Double overtime for the game seven? Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah.
And that's what makes it exciting. And this is why game seven, I find game seven as a player, you gotta put everything on the line, but you gotta realize too that you need the momentum, you need the breaks, you need to create the breaks, you need one individual that will be just spectacular and kind of take over. Like there's so many little things that could go either way because they're both good teams. Both teams could win. If we're going to talk about Nashville and the Jets, you look, I mean, what is it going to take? Who's going to be a difference maker? Who's going to get the breaks? Is the ref going to create the breaks for one of the team by calling a penalty that shouldn't be a penalty and they score on the power play and creates momentum and so on? So there's so many things that could go either way. It makes it hard, but as a player, all you can do is focus on what you can do.
Did you find game sevens or even playoffs, some guys get nervous, can't sleep. I was the same way. I loved it.
I loved it. Yeah. I mean, this is the time of the year where I can, I could sleep, but I just love to shine. This is the biggest.
Yeah, but you're not sitting in a stall worrying. You're going, because I remember Daryl Shannon asking me, he's like, we're starting in Ottawa and I was in Buffalo. He's like, I'm yawning or something. He's like, aren't you nervous?
If you were yawning, I was a coach. Nervous? I was going to kick you.
Gotta be relaxed.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Feel it.
Just chill out. No. I remember going to game six the night Marty scored and didn't tell anyone. And Marty,
I think we all remember that
Marty
night.
Marty bought me my triple shot mocha.
That'll get you going.
Starbucks on Marty. I remember. On Marriott. The problem was it was about 2:30 in the afternoon. I think I peaked a little early. Peaked a little early.
This is what I used to do. I started drinking coffee with Dave Bevish when I was in 1994, and picked him up and we had coffee in the first round. We had coffee and a shot in there, and by round four we got coffee and four shots and we're like wired up.
So shots like whiskey or
no
espresso? Yeah, ice. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. And see, he remembers that. He remembers little stuff like that.
You know what? Yeah, I like, you got to pull it out of me for me to remember. I was thinking about it, like when you asked me to come yesterday, I got to sit down a little bit more and kind of go over things that happened or games that happened or guys that made a difference. You know what? There's always guys that will. Like, we'll take over a game in the playoff and be a difference maker. I got
to
go back.
Well, and all the little things. You know who told me to do it when I went to the finals in Florida? Dwayne Sutter, assistant coach. He said, Rhett, I'm telling you right now, take a journal, write things down.
Yeah.
Because you'll start to forget. And I'm, what are you talking about, you old fart? I'm not going to write a journal.
Yeah.
Sure wished I would have.
Yeah, you know what? I'm the same way. Yeah,
and I'm the same as you. And you start telling stories, and things start.
It opens up.
Oh yeah. It all starts to kind of come back a little bit.
This is why they're saying the story's always a little better after a few beers because now it's started flowing.
Yeah, okay, but it's odd. I grew up. My dad was a huge Montreal Canadiens fan.
Yeah,
I played in the Forum. Don't remember being there.
Oh really?
And I don't remember if I got dinged in the brain or if I got KO'd. I don't remember. The dressing rooms, I remember getting burnt for a goal on a power play. We lost 7-2, but I don't remember the boards. I don't remember the gates. I don't remember the...
It's funny. I remember all the old buildings, Montreal, Toronto, especially Chicago, because Chicago in 89-90, we played the Blackhawks third round. And I remember you're 18, 19 years old. You're coming out of the basement, and then it seems like... You're tired all the time when you're 19 years old. And then you got to climb all those stairs. And it seems like, and you got out, and it was like being back in the gladiator day where everybody's loud.
Walking out of the Coliseum.
Yeah. But I remember that. Yeah.
I was watching this thing, St. Louis. It was an old fight clip where St. Louis went in with Darren Kimball and Chase, and they beat the hell out of the Blackhawks, and all you could see was these St. Louis Blues guys getting kicked off the ice and going down the stairs. Disappears. Coming back up the stairs, sending back down the stairs. So, Game 7, 1994, you're the Vancouver. What do you remember about that night?
I just remember it was a hard-fought battle, but I remember... Like, you know what, that goal you'll see on the highlights where he gets that puck in the middle. You give that puck in the middle to Pavel Bure, even if he's got two guys right beside him, he's going to be gone. He is the most powerful player that I play with, just from A to B, just could get there, got the puck, and what a beautiful goal that was.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's still, when you think of that Vancouver team, you remember the Bure celebration. I remember the great saves by Kirk McLean coming across and making crazy pad saves.
Yeah.
Like you say, you need some of those historic moments when you're going to go that
far. Yeah, for sure. And you need, like, Pavel was good, but Jeff Courtnell was like playing some unbelievable hockey.
So
remember,
was Linden.
And Linden was playing awesome. And everybody, you know what, to get that far, you need different guys to step out different time and play big. But Courtnell, Greg Adam was awesome too, played a great series and so on.
Everyone has to elevate, though, to get there, right? You're not there if everyone hasn't.
Absolutely. But I was in kind of mid of my career there. And so Edmonton, I was a young kid, didn't quite won the cup, but didn't quite appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
It's just what you do. It's going to happen.
This is fun. I'm just playing the game. There's really no pressure.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, and then you get there, feel the pressure a little bit, and then we'll go 2004. But as you get older, and I'm a little older now, you realize, okay, how hard it is to get there and so on.
And you went deep on that Carolina team too, right?
We went to the... Yeah, 2002.
You get
we
swept
went,
in the finals against
yeah,
Detroit.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we
you
had
lost
a good
game
run.
One. Were you? Wasn't it close?
They were unbelievable.
That game one, I thought you were up in that game, and it blew it kind of.
No,
the end.
It was back when we had an overtime game,
Larry
and I remember.
Was it Larry?
Yeah. And I remember. Remember people in Carolina? They wonderful people, nice people, like Carolina people, Nashville people, great people. Anyway, it was all new to them, so they would tailgate for 3-4 hours, get to the game, start drinking beer, and they would not sit down. And then by the, how many overtime did we go through? 3 overtime. They are like zombies in the stands. They're like, well, those are good memories, yeah.
Great having Marty Gelinas here in studio today, Flames assistant coach. Spent a little time in the NHL as well, 1,273 games. Not bad. That's a career, in case you were wondering. A lot of people, we have a text line. It's our fan feedback line presented by Glenmore Audi. People loving you. Back in 88, Marty Gelinas' brother was my grade 4 teacher.
No. I don't have a brother, but that's good.
There you go. How about that?
It's the kind of hard-hitting things you can learn on our station every morning.
Yeah, you'll learn a lot.
I like the one you told me the other day about you went out to talk to Gerard Gallant.
Yeah, and I started talking French to him, and he turns. You guys were talking about it in the morning, right? And he looks at me and he said, and I did it twice, 2 coaches clinic in a row. And he said, sorry, I don't speak French.
Jeez. I'd have thought he did. Yeah. What a job they're doing.
Oh, great. Great job. You know, what's interesting, obviously they're playing, at the beginning of the year, I got to talk more on this microphone.
No, you're good.
Okay, thank you. But at the beginning of the year, I thought, not a chance. In the first round, not a chance. And then against the Sharks, I said, Sharks going to do it. They're just finding ways to do it. And obviously, the coaching staff, they're doing a good job. And players are stepping up and doing a great job there. What a fun building. You guys were there?
We went there for a game, and it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was. It's a fun, fun building.
It's over the top. But it's great over the top.
It's so the warm up. I'm getting the lines. I'm sitting on the bench and you could just feel the bass. And it's like being in a club.
Yes.
And after warm up,
how would you know about a club, Martin?
You know, I've been to clubs. Yeah. Clean living, but I've been to clubs. But I asked some of the guys. They said, love the warm up there. It's just there's the buzz about the building.
But you feel it right in your chest.
Oh yeah,
it just vibrates.
Yeah, my mother. It was the mom's trip.
That's right.
She did not love it.
Right. Didn't like it as quite as much.
And it took you 11 minutes to get a bloody shot on net in front of their mothers. Oh my gosh, 5,000 people in flames.
There's
socially.
No way
what?
That flies in Calgary either.
Oh no,
the club scene at
too
the hockey
loud.
Game.
That's entertainment. Like, you got to make it.
What was Nashville like when you were there?
You know, it was good. It was really good. So David Poile, which I got a lot of respect and time for, good man. Puts a he's steady Eddie every day. He just kind of he grinds away, but in a nice way, nice man. But he just puts a good program, and it starts in Nashville. It was you're talking about the city or the
well, just
the
I
team
know,
or
the, and the rink.
Like you're not very right, direct right now.
Right now, the rink is well for the past couple of years. I mean, they've had good runs, but we went there 2 years, I guess, 2 years ago. And again, you go to the rink, and yeah, the product on the ice is great, and that's entertaining me. But they do such a good job of the in-house entertainment side of it. I don't know when that started because
it was always there,
always there.
But you could get a little bit of entertainment before you go to the game. You get your entertainment. Yeah. There's lots going on. Music is a big part of it. Obviously, you got shows and so on. So they do a good job and on and off the ice. But the product's been good and development's been good too. Drafting has been good. So credit to David Poile.
I can go all over the place. I want to go back to Chicago. You played in Chicago in the old stadium when it was insanity.
That would have been the loudest building in the sport at that point.
It was. You felt like everybody were on top of you.
Yeah. But then you also played in Chicago when there was 5,000 people.
Oh, I know.
And it was the saddest, most dreary rink you could ever go to.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they've seen it all. They full cycled it. And then, but in that building when it's full, the new building.
Yeah.
When it's full, it's a fun building. It's, I mean, National Anthem there. You've been there
before? Yeah, man.
Yeah. It's just, nuts. you just feel it, right? And especially in the playoff, you're just like, wow, what a buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go right to Tampa. Everyone, I was at the Dome, sitting in the nosebleeds. It's like the cup is in the house tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe it.
June 5th.
And you scored.
Can't believe he didn't know.
This is
that.
A bit of a touchy spot.
It is.
Well, if you scored, Marty, there'd be a ring on my finger. So
you got to remember, too, the angle that the NHL had at that time was from behind the net. So pretty tough to get a good, clear shot of where the puck is at. So I remember driving the net and it's my skate. And the puck goes quick from my skate to just over, to me, look like over the line, hit the pad, and it's out. So in my mind, I'm thinking the NHL is gonna phone down anytime and so on. And obviously they didn't. So I said it that night, if I had to do it all over again, my personality is pretty quiet person. I do my job and
you're too nice.
Just kind of go about my business. But if I had to do it all over again, I would put my arms up and I would track back and I would chase back the puck. But at least I would show that what I saw.
Throw your gloves off. Throw the stick off.
I'm not sure about the stick and the glove.
But you know what? But ask Rhett. Once the gloves come off and people are celebrating.
But that's not overtime.
It wasn't overtime. It was six. There were 6 minutes and 58 seconds left.
I just remember leaving the rink that night, and people were like, "Well, the puck was in." With puck.
Yeah. Amazing. It's amazing because the following year I went to see to the Toronto office. I went to see Campbell and ask him and
punch him in the mouth.
And, no, just in a nice way. Just kind of ask him. But they had a science about it. And it was interesting. We had some ambassador that had a sponsor trip this year, and they spent some time with Gary Bettman. They're Calgary people, and they ask about the goal. And to this day, Bettman's still saying no with the calculation.
What are you showing?
The calculation.
I've never watched this stuff. The puck is in the.
Brett blocked this out, by the way. I think the first time he saw the replay.
Look at the camera too. So that
you're,
camera from
you're well
behind
off the goal
pad,
yeah.
you can't see it. So.
If
so
it's
to this 20, day,
if it's 2018, I think that's a goal.
Yeah, but to this day,
they have to have better angles than that, though. That again, that's off the goal.
No, what I'm saying is with
the
technology,
they would know if it was a goal or not.
Yeah.
So to this day, Gary Bettman and he should. He's saying no, it didn't go in. But I'm gonna keep saying that puck was in.
Yeah. Well, Gary Bettman said that Brett Hull's goal was supposed to count, and Gary Bettman also said they check every goal except in. The year after we lost to Dallas in the finals with the Brett Hull no goal, we played Philly, and a puck went through the side of the net and counted. So they don't do too good a job of counting.
Doing a better job
double
now.
Checking, though.
Memory lane's tricky with Rhett.
Yeah.
Because he's good at remembering things, but then it...
Well, if I was spoiled like Marty and had won my first year as opposed
Isn't that incredible? How lucky? How lucky? Because you don't... You realize how hard it is. It's even harder now to win, but lucky I did it.
That's what people... Well, I think people in Canada understand it, but around the world, people don't understand how hard to win that.
It's so competitive now. Make the playoff is hard enough. And then after you make the playoff... To win round after round, and you need the break, you need the momentum.
The injuries.
Oh, yeah.
You know where I think we screwed? Well, we were too injured, and we blew it against San Jose. We went in and won the first two games, and then came home and gave away two.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long series when you needed some rest.
Travel, yeah. And like...
We could have used it. There's no question.
Absolutely.
You played so many bloody games that year.
Yeah.
That would have been huge.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
So many moments, and again, we're watching it now with Winnipeg and all these teams, right? They have their overtime moments, and by the time you go through four rounds, much like you with Vancouver, mm-hmm. There's some that just they will last forever. Thinking of the San Jose series, I mean, the Ricci's ugly chance, and it just became clear, you guys are going to beat these guys. Like, Vancouver, fun. Detroit, fluke. You're better than these guys, and you were believing in yourself.
Was Detroit a fluke? I'm not sure if it was a fluke because
I didn't think so.
But I think they took us lightly.
Yeah, they did.
Like then they finally realized, okay, those guys work hard, and we did get some breaks. There's no question.
I eliminated Yzerman from the equation.
What That's a right. shot, huh? Yeah. It was planned too. Yeah, no, just kidding. And the Sharks was and Tampa. I thought when we got to Tampa after we did all of that, I thought we got a shot to win.
I thought we were the better team, but
it was pretty
pouty
even.
Rat.
Yeah,
we were too injured.
Yeah,
I'm saying if Phaneuf had played and not been a clown, he'd have made a difference. And if Denis Gauthier hadn't been out the whole time, he would have made a difference.
You were down to like 9th D or something like that organizationally. It was ugly.
Denis Gauthier would have been huge because he would have crushed Richards and LeCavalier at some point in that series, and then their whole game changes. Mm-hmm. It's like, head up. Where is he? Look out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But
you're not wrong. You take any of these teams right now and start picking away at their defense like that. Like, you can maybe have forward depth. It's kind of a punchline. I feel bad for the guy, but when Brennan Evans, it's like, well, God, what level are we playing at?
Mm-hmm.
When Commodore and Evans, like, now these guys are getting regular shifts.
Yeah. But they did a pretty amazing job for, you know, being, it's not easy. Talking about pressure, talking about performing, biggest stage of the season. So
here's one, and we're going late. Just hang on. This is before we leave San Jose, and I know this is kind of a special one. When I think of the San Jose series, I know where I was. I was excited. This moment for me was the San Jose series.
Here's Aguilar. Jerome Aguilar looking for a chance. Coming late. Bonador scores. Steve Bonador is your hero in game one as the Flames strike first.
Put tears in my
eyes.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, is you know what this? You need different guys to step up, and Monty did that game, and it looked good on him too, and you could see that big smile on the newspaper
banging the
next
stick.
Day. He wanted it, tapping. He wanted it, and good on him. So
what that goal? Because I know for fan. Okay, round three, and you win in San Jose. It's like, okay. Now did you already believe, or how big a moment was that for you to? At very least, we're going home split.
Oh, yeah. You know what? This is as a player, when you go into the other city, you just want to get that split. And if you could get that first one, awesome. And then if you get the second one, we're on our way. And you know what? It's kind of, you know, it's an old cliche. You take a shift a game at a time. But this is what you do. And you got to assess the situation. And you're away. You're in their barn. It's a loud building. It's tough to play. If we could just get that first game, and then when you do, it just creates momentum and confidence and belief, and that's what happened.
I love that goal call because Cuthbert's so great, and it's Aguilar with the puck. Number one, he's dishing it to somebody.
Yeah.
Number two, it's Monador.
Yeah.
And number three, he scores.
Yeah, which is awesome. Right?
Right?
Awesome.
It was so great.
Yeah.
And then game seven.
Game seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't come up with a big goal that night, did you?
No.
Mr. Eliminator.
We had some chances, too. Yeah. No.
I don't think it was our best game. Nope. I think we were tired.
Yeah, but
Tanko.
Everybody's tired. Yeah. I mean, everybody's tired. It's not. But you need the breaks, and we didn't quite. You need to save that
Bobby
one Boulin save.
Made that big save on Leo. And
yeah, that's this is why I said game seven, this is what makes it hard to predict which way is going to. It's two good teams that are going to play against each other. You need that one bounce, or you need that one guy that steps up and play unbelievable, or you need that break, you need that momentum. And for example, if we're talking about the game tomorrow, you know, if the Jet go there and score one and two, and then, wow, the momentum, I mean, it changes quick, right? So we didn't get it. We didn't get any of it in game seven against Tampa.
Okay, so when Marty Gélinas goes off the rails,
yeah,
what does it look like?
Oh, it's off.
What's your?
It's off. I didn't eat any potato chips when I played.
Oh,
like I could go through. I could get a bag in no time. Under a lot of stress after some games this year, I come back home and have a bag of chips and a glass of wine and go to bed.
Favorite bottle of wine? Because I know you're a big wine guy.
You know what? Maryville. I like Maryville, and I'm saying that because Renny Schlater is a friend of mine from Napa Valley. But I like California wine.
Who was crazier, Niemann, Simon, or Oliwa?
You know what? There were three different guys, but Niemann was incredible, just his faces and the way he competed. But Oliwa was did you ever talk that story about, like, he was just a beast. He loved, most fighter don't like to fight. He loved fighting. He loved dropping the mitts, and he could fly for a big guy.
Oh,
right? He was a beast. But did you tell that story about when he was in that little car?
No.
Right? Did you
tell
ever?
It?
Yeah. So he's driving. He must have a rental car. And all it was a giant. What is he, 6'6"?
Oh, wow, he's big. I don't know.
He's giant. Like so he's driving that little mini and so on. For some reason, he cut someone off, and the guy gave him the finger. And so all of what, he's on his way to the game, he's got a suit and so on. So the guy gave him the finger. So what he does, he goes around the car, cuts him off to a point where the car cannot go anywhere. And then from this little mini, you see this giant coming 6'5", out of the car.
245.
Knocking on the window. The guy had to pee his pants like it was.
Well, we called him out of the blue one morning. What was that story he had? How
he'd tickle the guy's nose.
He'd go up to the guy's nose.
Got a nice nose. You want me to break it?
Yeah, I think I might want to break it. Did you ever get the stare from Messier?
Like playing with him or against him?
Or against, yeah.
I got the look really. Playing against him. I hit him.
Like maybe I just knew the stares, right? It was just kind of. No, him. He was good to me.
I hit him once in New York, and like 2 minutes later, the whistle went, and he did the skate by with the look, and I'm like, oh no, this is not good.
He was a beast.
He was.
You have to answer this one truthfully.
Okay.
Game seven, Vancouver, 2004. Mm-hmm. You leave the puck for Warner.
Yes.
Are you playing Detroit later that week?
Not a chance.